Podtacular 278 Mailbag Show for March 15th, 2012.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Drew.
And Daph's around here somewhere. He'll be back.
He's getting Daph! Yeah.
He'll be back here in a minute. I don't know. Do we want to take a guess at what he's getting? My vote's pizza.
Daph. So what's the number one food for left wing Republicans right now?
I thought we were going to leave politics out of this.
All right. I'm sorry. He's eating pig. I know it.
Like, you mean like bacon or pork or what kind of pig are we talking about here?
I was just joking around. I wasn't being serious at all. I'm pretty sure he's having filet mignon with some nice tartar sauce. Some ragouts.
Sounds like you said tata.
That's a Chardonnay topped off with some Cool Whip, you know.
And
keep it classy.
Until Dev gets back, we have a special guest with us tonight. I guess you are you director or?
Yeah, I guess I call myself that. I call myself a filmmaker. All right. I kind of do a lot of stuff.
All right. Filmmaker, director, whatever you want to call him, of a, I guess,
can I call quote, you quote, the
documentary
di- game. Can I call you the didact of filmmaking?
The didact?
With a what? What's that?
The didact of filmmaking.
It's a didact.
It's the forerunner. Yeah. Who's in charge of everything.
Like a root user in a Unix system?
It's Halo fiction stuff.
I figured. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And now, the didact of the film industry.
I guess for a proper...
I like Just Rob. You can call me Just Rob.
This is Rob M's that we've coined Just Rob. So yes. Welcome. You've already witnessed some of the craziness that is Podtacular. So welcome to the craziness.
I'm really enjoying it. Thank you so much for having me on. This is great for me.
And this is a special episode for two reasons. First, because Just Rob is here. And second, because we've gotten submissions for the first time. And I don't know how the heck long. It's been
since
2000.
We've had some submissions, but
we just never read them.
Like little questions where it's like, well, this is stuff that's been answered already in other places. So this is stuff that's actually...
Are you telling me you've been ignoring the little man? We work for the little man here, Dustin.
Well, when we
little man pays
when we were
pills.
Off at Christmas and I didn't have much of a chance to like really say anything. I mean, not many of these other ones were substantial or anything.
Vote G. Lewis for best co-host of Podtacular because I work for the little man.
One of them was talking about the rising and falling of amount of players on Halo. One of them was telling me to go watch a YouTube series. So... And another one was about Around the Ring, which is no longer relevant. So, I mean, there are some in here that it's like, yeah, okay, but they're not really podcast worthy.
But I guess we'll start out with talking to Rob here.
Yes, we will.
Sure.
So, Rob, you are heading up a project called Game Changers, which is involved with some Halo pro players, specifically MLG players. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your project and what the goal of your film is going to be?
Definitely. Well, right now, we're in the fundraising phase. Game Changers is a film about friendship, primarily, and ask the question, do people change? And I really wanted to make it about, to make a good film, you have to make it about a story first and foremost. But I love games. I grew up playing way too much Halo 4v4s. We would play, you know, Blood Gulch 4v4s.
To interject. Yep. Nobody can play too much Halo.
Well, that's true. And that's why I'm making this film, because I really love gaming and what MLG does. And specifically, sorry to all my StarCraft 2 players out there, but the film is about two pro Halo players. And at the beginning of the film, we see them in their teens kind of progressing and committing to the pro circuit and becoming successful, similar to how Walshy and the Ogre Twins, you know, Final Boss kind of in 2006, 2007, whenever that was. And then we meet them modern day, and this starts the film off. They're now in their mid-20s, and they're working at a failing IT company. They're playing a lot of World of Warcraft, which is an easy thing to kind of get caught up in. And they're just has-beens. And so the film follows Brian and Scott, these two guys who are best friends. And Brian resents the idea of growing up, and he wants to reclaim his status as a pro gamer. That's kind of where he sees his identity. And Scott, maybe not so much. He's more concerned about his job and if he's going to be single for the rest of his life. But regardless, they both commit, and their journey as friends and, you know, what it takes to recommit, all the struggles and, you know, to really be a pro gamer, it has to be your life. So, we want to showcase what it's really like, to do that. And, you know, in the end, I can't give away the ending, but you know, I guess the question is, do they become successful, and how does their friendship end up? It's kind of the arc of the story.
So this is kind of not necessarily a documentary, but I mean, what would you kind of coin this project that you're doing?
It is absolutely not a documentary. It is just a feature film. I hate to say dramedy, combination of drama and comedy, because I think that's what a lot of stuff is now. But it is a dramatic feature film. This will be the second feature that I've directed myself, and I've been editing and shooting feature films, independent feature films, for the last 8 years, and I've been doing film work for over a decade.
All right. Is there any examples of stuff that you've worked on before that you can give us, or?
Sure. Well, again, I'm an independent filmmaker. I haven't had anything critically acclaimed because I work on smaller stuff, but after I graduated from college, I was the editor on what at one point on IMDb was the lowest rated horror film of all time. And that really hurt my ego for a little bit. I mean, I knew it was a horrible movie. I just edited it for a company, but I kind of wore it as a badge of honor for a while. It's called The Maze of the Movie. And so, like, you know, when I talk to my film friends and people I meet, they'd be like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, right now I currently have edited the worst horror movie of all time. And they're like, ooh. So before this, unfortunately, I guess that's my claim to fame. The feature that I directed a couple years ago is called Couch.
I heard about that.
What's that?
I've heard the name of it. Going to the Couch.
Yeah, we shot it very inexpensively and actually managed to get distribution in Russia, which, you know, for the first thing I was directing, I didn't intend on doing much with that. I really just wanted to learn how to get, you know, to do something other than edit, which is primarily what I had been doing in film for a long time. So that was exciting for me. But for this film, technology has changed tremendously over just the last 4 years in cameras. And that's really a big deal, because my last film didn't look like a film. You know, when you go to a movie, it has a certain look, but now there's cameras like the Sony F3 and DSLRs and you know, cameras you can spend a couple thousand dollars on. And if you get somebody who knows what they're doing with it, and we do, I have a bunch of friends, one friend in particular named Benjamin Eckstein, who is a professional cinematographer. He's going to bring the look of an actual film to this feature. So it's really going to be able to have that widespread appeal and a look that, you know, won't just be, oh, that's an indie film. That doesn't look that great. So I'm really excited to, we're in the funding phase now, but I'm really excited to start shooting this summer. Cause it's going to be better than just personally anything I've ever had an opportunity to work on, I think.
I know it's going to be hard to do with licensing and whatnot, but are we going to see Halo in the movie? Like gameplay?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm talking with right now, the PR at Major League Gaming, and can't give too much away, but I mean, yes, we want to shoot at a circuit event. MLG has been receptive to that. And when it comes to game footage, to answer the actual question you asked me, sorry, there's a legally you can do, there's a fair use. I'm not a lawyer, but the lawyers that I'm working with say that you can use, like, Red versus Blue uses the game footage, and you know, they really, and they're making a lot of, they made money off it. And so, yeah. you can use game footage like StarCraft 2 footage, Halo footage. I mean, we also, this is separate from video games, but, Wizards of the Coast, which makes Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons, they're big games. They're totally on board. So I've been contacting individual companies, but the big companies, you're really kind of covered with something called fair use for the most part. But I know we're definitely gonna have. Yeah, I mean we're the movie's about Halo. You know, we have to show Halo. So
right.
Yeah.
So what kind of brought you on to do this kind of film, or even do this kind of drama thing, and do it in a pro setting? Like, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of other gamers that you probably know in person that you could have done this with, but why MLG players specifically?
Honestly, it's because, and I was talking before the show, you know, I'm an obsessive personality. I played, like, you told me, you're like, you can't play too much Halo.
No one can ever play too much Halo.
I agree. I mean, if that's all I had to do in life, I'd be happy. But really, it comes from a personal feeling of, I remember when MLG Columbus, when they televised MLG, I don't know if they really do that anymore, but I remember watching that and thinking, like, this is awesome. You know, what I love is finally getting widespread appeal, and, you know, people are making money doing this. It's respected as a sport. You know, it's not just what your parents think of anymore as, oh, my son likes playing video games, you know, and there's a culture there. You know, it's a community. It's not just sitting at home playing an adventure game on PlayStation. And that goes without saying to you guys, but, you know, I deal with all kinds of different people of all different ages. And I really love the community of gamers. I mean, I grew up playing a lot of Halo and MLG. I have a fondness for, but making it, people who take gaming seriously. And so I want to show people who don't really get the opportunity or don't even know what MLG is, that this exists. This is a real thing. This is what people are spending their time doing. And it's not just screwing around playing video games, you know, like 15 years ago. This is a real community, a real experience. There's so much to it. And that really goes without saying to people who listen to your show or people who know about MLG. But it's important to me to, for personal reasons as well, because I grew up gaming, to show moms and dads and people who don't know, you know, what pro gamers do and that it exists. But really making a movie that is about characters we care about friendship, about getting older, coming of age, facing your fears, a lot of stuff that is in the film that I'm going to market it as. But it very obviously is going to, you know, if I put Halo in it and I have MLG on board and Magic the Gathering and all the kind of geeky stuff or the gaming stuff, it's going to attract gamers. But I really want to make this a film that has a lot of appeal. I have connections to big film sites and in the industry, and I really want this to be a great film that just happens to be about gamers. So people, for exposure, really, because I care about what gamers do.
Alrighty.
Are there any other
That's a long answer. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Are there any like web series or anything that helped you decide to do this, like Pure Ownage?
Yeah, I know that. Big Crits, the WoW one, was another one I saw. What's the drawing a blank. There's a really popular WoW one. A lot of the WoW series, really. But more than anything, it's because, as I said before the show, I play games so much to where I kind of found that I had to stop. So personally, I need a way to vent it in a creative way without sitting and playing League of Legends or Dota until 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, or playing Halo, you know. So because I had to stop, I think just personally it comes from a place of me wanting to continue to live in that realm and be a part of it, because I don't really play games as much anymore. So that's kind of where it came from, the inspiration for it.
Do you have a funding goal? And if is there a way that our listeners could, I guess, help
fund you're really softballing that one, Greg. Thanks. Yes. As a matter of fact, we're in the fundraising phase right now. Over the next, I think it's 38 days, we have a 60-day campaign to hit $30,000. on Indiegogo. And it's indiegogo.com/game-changers. And we have a video we put up there which describes the project. And for people who don't know about Kickstarter and Indiegogo, we try to hit our goal. And if we hit that goal, you know, we get all of our money. And if you donate, you can donate as little as a dollar, goes directly to the project. But if you donate, you get something. And so for a donation of $10, for example, you will get your gamer tag in the credits of the film. And then from there, if you want to go to, I believe it's 35, I'd have to look. I probably should be more prepared. But as you go up, you can buy digital download of the film for donating. You get a copy. And so,
nice.
You get something for donating. So yes, if people go to indiegogo.com/game-changers or our website, which we're going to be kind of tweeting about or tweeting and posting all about the process is gamechangersthemovie.com. They can find out more information and just kind of keep track of it. So we're doing great so far. We raised, I think, close to 6,000, and it increases every day with more exposure and more people coming on board. And yeah, we're confident we can hit that, and we can do it for that. That's not a lot of money at all. I'm sure you know, like, big budget Hollywood films are millions and millions. And
right.
And I've been making independent films for a long time, and I know I can really make something just phenomenal with if we hit that budget, and I get all the players that I need involved if we hit that budget.
All right. Well, those links will be in the show notes as well, so people can click on those.
Radical.
Radical.
Killer.
Kickstarter's been kind of a popular uprising recently. There's even a game developer that he broke his goal within like 24 hours.
Is that for the indie game movie?
Yeah. It wasn't a movie. It was a game.
It's Tim Schafer, so what do you expect?
Oh, wait. Is that the one that got like $3 million?
Yeah, he got $3 million in like 24 hours.
Yeah.
Although his goal was like 600,000 or something like that.
It was 400,000. And that was the guy who did like, I grew up, I don't know how old you guys are, playing like Day of the Tentacle and Sam and Max. Like, that's from the same creators and studio. So. I had been using Indiegogo and Kickstarter for donating stuff just because I believe and wanted to see things get off, you know, the ground. And so I'm glad it's popular because it also gives people like me an opportunity who, you know, don't have tons of money to make movies and say, hey, here's what I'm doing. If people believe in it, we'll give you stuff back and you can directly fund what you want to see get made. So.
Right.
So I'm glad it's popular.
Indeed it is. But yeah, if it's something you guys are interested in, definitely go. Check the links. There'll be a few links, one to his site and one to his Indiegogo page, and possibly a couple other links if Rob decides to give me some.
He's got a website.
That's all I got. I can just spout off other ones if you want.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, if you want, I mean, if you can give them to me and I'll repost them in the show notes. I think so.
Your $500 thing looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's a good amount of cash. And so that's not for, you know, everyone, but I have a bunch of friends who are in the industry who actually, when we first launched, the $500 gift for associate producer was the most claimed perk. It slowed down a little bit, but I mean, you can buy, I mean, I should mention that as well for the independently wealthy who listen to Podtech.
We're talking to you, Gemini Ace. Talking to you.
Oh, goodness.
We have the reasonable donations, which a majority of people will fund. But yeah, for $500, you will be an associate producer of Game Changers. You'll be in the opening credits. You'll be listed on IMDb. And then there's one above that, which is the big ticket one, which is executive producer of the film. And we'll like fly you out to the premiere. We're hoping to premiere in New York or LA. So, but you know, we don't need to have those. I mean, if this really gets on a roll, if people believe in what the story we're trying to tell, what we're trying to do, then, I mean, a dollar chipped in from people all over the world would smash our goal. So,
mm-hmm.
Think about everybody who listens. If everybody gave a dollar for our if you downloaded this episode, like in the last three, let's just say our average, if everybody downloaded a dollar, you'd be really close.
3,000.
If that happens and everyone does donate a dollar and I hit my goal or exceed it, you guys will be executive producers of my film. Now I'm kind of, if that happens, I'll eat my words, but, you know. We can make this happen.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
Well, we would like to encourage everybody. This looks cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure us three will do.
It's interesting because on the show before, we've talked about people making machinimas, and we've seen like all the live action stuff lately that's come out, like Halo the Fallen, Halo Helljumpers. And it's interesting to see a new take on a quote unquote Halo film, as in we're now seeing a documentary. It's not necessarily directly based on Halo, but it's based on something that the core is Halo. So. Yes. It's definitely interesting to see a different perspective of making.
How does it work that you have?
What?
Sorry, you have $5,631 and nobody's. It says zero under $1. I don't get it.
I mean, no one's donated the $1.
No, nobody has chipped in a buck. Everyone's has been really giving, and they've been like, I want to donate at least $10.
Well, I was just wondering. Oh, so can you do $11 because you have?
Yeah, you can donate any amount, and then at all, and then you can either choose to say I don't want to claim anything, I don't want my name in the film, I don't want a copy of the movie, or you can claim anything, So if you gave $35, you could claim anything below that, which
right,
So yeah, you can donate any amount you'd like.
Oh, okay. So I was like, there's a one at the end of that. How does that work?
Yeah.
I know one other project I've donated to is Freddie Wong's video game high school. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Freddie Wong is – I talked to him on Twitter from time to time. He's getting kind of big, so he doesn't reply back to me. But
come on.
As much. No, I used to talk to him. But he's a tremendous inspiration because his attitude is awesome. And the fact that he puts out videos every week, I mean, it's just – plus, I just like, people getting shot. And
is he the one behind,
well, who doesn't?
Is he the one behind?
Exactly, yeah, as long as it's not real,
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, look at – he definitely appeals to the gaming geeky side of YouTube, especially with all the Battlefield stuff that he was putting out a few months ago. That stuff was pretty cool.
No, I'm a video game high school contributor myself. I can't wait to see stuff start coming out.
What are you saying, Greg?
Is he the one behind the 405th, too? Am I thinking about this?
No. 405th Source? No.
He's the one who made Jedi Assholes. Have you ever seen that video?
No.
Oh, it's just two Jedis being like dicks and just like, with their lightsabers, like cutting wheels out of cars and stuff.
What else did he make that? Oh, he also made the real life Puss in Boots. I know that one's
kind of off the beaten path. Am I allowed to swear on this show?
Huh?
Am I allowed to swear on this show? I mean, I may have just done that.
So, I mean, if it's lips, it's fine.
So can I, like, just go on a tirade? And
if you want to. I mean, if you listen, our last show, we talked about Armor Lock. And I probably had to throw in there about 20 censors, so... It's if you feel like you need to rant on something, go ahead.
Like, I kind of just want to drop, like, just a whole bunch of – just curse, like, in a row.
So you just hear this 30-second long beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, we're never having him on again. Remember that, yeah.
Notes to self.
It's cool. We have someone that we have on regularly who drops, on average, two or three – every now and then.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. There's the beep. There's two of them.
Yep. Yep. People won't know what I said. Even if it was clean, they won't know what I said.
You're a fucking motherfucking piece of shit. You know that?
That whole thing is just one long.
One. Or I might just break it up to where it actually sounds like.
Please do that. I'm done. I'm done swearing now.
He's had his fill. All right. But yeah. Hey, Daft. Daft is here.
Hey.
He's been here.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, but now...
Did I ever tell you the definition of insanity?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. No, Daft.
For the listeners, that's from the Far Cry 3 E3 trailer. Ooh.
Oh, boy. So, moving on. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Rob.
Thank you. Honestly, it was really great for you guys to have me on. I'm having a blast. But we're looking for all the exposure we can get, so it's great that you guys.
I see you're going to be on the Halo Council soon.
That's correct. Yeah, I tweeted to
that's
Gandhi.
That's prestigious.
And, yeah, no, I'm really excited. I mean, you know, the filmmaker in me, you know, the funding process, just part of the process of getting this film completed. But the geek in me is just like, oh my God, it's Gandhi. You know,
so, right.
I'm 30 years old, but I'm like a giggling little girl. Yeah.
We all have.
But exactly. But I tweeted to him, and he just happened to see it, I guess, and tweet back to me and say like, heck yeah, and I was like, oh great. So I guess they're preparing for was it Winter Classic, right?
Well, Columbus.
Yeah. So he said after that, but no, I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be great.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move along.
We can talk about something else besides me.
we're getting there. We're getting there.
Excellent.
15 minutes before we actually started, the bulletin came out. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Not too much in terms of new Halo 4 news, if anyone was thinking that they might slip a little treat for us in there. But we have more information on the battle rifle for Halo 4.
If you're paying attention, there's some stuff in there, but it says that the battle rifle is
designed. I guess there is like
designed to take out shields. So, but that assume that whatever we're gonna fight is gonna have shields. I mean, it seems like little things like that. If you just read between the lines.
I mean, other Spartans that you're playing on multiplayer have shields.
Well, the lore of the battle rifle is not made for matchmaking. I'm sure. I don't know why she'd explain it. It was designed by UNSC personnel to take shields out.
We'll see, I guess. If you look at it that way, yes, there are minute details, but it's nothing that is really substantial or game-changing, I should say.
It's the same stuff, really. The only big thing, I guess, that you can say that changed the battle rifle is it is a new model number. It was the BR-55, and now it's the BR-85. Everything's going to be the same, it seems like. I don't know how many bullets it's going to have. It'll shoot 3 at a time, right? It'll have time to scope. It'll hit scan.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming since the little screen on there is 36 and the Halo 3 one had 36, that it's going to be 36.
it's safe to assume that.
We don't need to overanalyze here.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, they're really pushing the BR. I guess they're trying to kind of get back the audience.
They're trying to get back to Halo 3 glory days. Yes, yeah. And also trying to appease the MLG types who complained about the DMR.
I mean, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just
No, it's not. I'm just saying like the reason for it.
Yeah.
Are you anti BMR?
No.
BMR?
Yeah, anti BMR.
No, I'm pro anything that's fun, basically. I mean, I think that in Halo 4, they're gonna have multiple weapons for each like kind of weapon class, right? So for medium range rifles, they're gonna have the BR and the DMR and maybe something else for like UNSC. And then for the Covenant, they're going to have, like, needle rifle and carbine and maybe something else. I mean, that's kind of a stretch, but maybe.
Let's see. So other than the little – I mean, was there anything else that you wanted to really point out, Greg, about the BR? I know you spent about 10 minutes looking over it before the show.
Oh, I mean, you guys said you didn't want to beat a dead horse, so.
I mean, if there's anything that stuck out to you specifically, I mean.
I mean, this is main little stuff like that about how when they were going about the lore of how they designed it, about how when they were designing this one, they were thinking about making it a more modernized weapon, and that's kind of. But then they wanted to add sci-fi features to it. Isn't that really anything to do about gameplay or anything else that leads into Halo 4? But it's just cool little stuff to see how they're thinking. And I'm assuming the other weapons, the UNSC weapons, are probably going to be the same thing. They're going to try to look more modern, sound more modern, and then, you know, just look badass. So, but yeah, the little things like you can, I don't really know if it means anything, but it does say in here that it was made specifically to counteract shields in certain points, but, I don't exactly know if that's referring to multiplayer or single player. So.
Yeah. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, assuming the same weapons that are in multiplayer and single player are going to kind of cross over. Although it could be different because they are based kind of on two different stories now. So we might see a difference. I don't know. We'll just have to wait till they release more information on it.
It's very like what we know as hosts is the same thing everybody else knows. So
yeah,
it's not like I guess we would like not. We don't want people to think that.
Right. I mean, we take the information and we digest it and we send it along with our thoughts and people are. I mean, if they're listening to us, then they value our opinion to the point where we're actually making somewhat decent sense.
Hey guys, my opinion is of no validity, and I just heard that you'll be able to stock 3 rockets before you have to reload in Halo 4.
Really? Whoa. You can only do 4 now, so and a downgrade.
No, I think he means like 3 and 1 go before you have to reload.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
That's
so,
true.
So will the rocket packs be triangles instead of just the 2 side by side?
No, same thing.
2 holes, 3 rockets. It's gonna happen. All right, guys.
Oh goodness. 2
holes. We got this. I guess the other updates are pretty much they talk about waypoint just a little teeny bit.
Some aesthetics, some performance changes and updates. Platforms have been updated to some degree.
Let's say the forms are easier to run on a phone now, or like on an iPad.
So I don't use the forms on the phone anyway, so that I wouldn't really know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure some people do, but I mean, I know a lot of people do. They're thinking about stuff like that, so maybe we'll be able to check stats on our phones through the browser. That'd be pretty fun. Though I already have Halo Waypoint app on my iPhone. So.
Yeah, well, the Waypoint app is free. It's Atlas that costs you.
Yeah.
So.
See, they tricked me up when they said on here, it says, remember, when you buy Atlas, you get access to all of the Halo Reach maps. And I was like, so if I buy Atlas, does that mean I don't have to buy the DLC? I'm guessing what that means is you get to use all of the maps that are in Halo Reach in Atlas. You don't have to pay anything extra.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got excited there for a second. I was like, what?
Yeah. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Pay $5, get it all.
And get it all. That would be, that's $20 worth of maps for the price of 5. That would be.
However, it's not to be. So.
No. I'm a little surprised, speaking of which, that Bungie didn't turn around and make the maps free like they did for Halo 3 after a certain period of time. I wonder if that's just a Microsoft thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Bungie has a say in pricing. I think they just have a say in what's made.
Because, I mean, all the Halo 2 maps were free, and then the Halo 3 maps, the first map pack became free, the second map pack became free, and then the 2 Mythic map packs are still you have to pay for.
The iron fist of Microsoft knows no bounds.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Do you think stuff should be free after a certain amount of time?
After a very long time, yes. Like multiple years long time.
Well, I mean, maybe they haven't made their money on it yet, so I'm pretty sure.
Like, what if, like, for when Halo 4 comes out, make all the Reach stuff free? I mean, would you do that?
That's probably a smart idea.
Yeah, that'd be okay, I guess, yeah.
I mean, I would be for it. I still wouldn't play it, so, because I've already bought it.
Well, you already have the map, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what would actually make more sense is if the Halo 4 stuff had some initial free to draw Reach players to the new game and then not release Reach free stuff.
Are you implying day one DLC? Because that's a bit of a hot button issue lately in the industry.
Personally, I want everything free. But I'm just saying, you know, what they're probably going to do from a business standpoint, I mean, that would make sense. They want people playing the new game, I would assume.
Right. So what do you mean, yeah. Like day one DLC, like a code in the boxes on day one?
Yeah, I heard it from me first. That's my second announcement. I just got off the phone with Bill Gates.
Wow. Day one DLC.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You got anything else up your sleeve? Like, do you have a release date for Halo 5 yet? Did you get that?
No, nothing yet, but I'll keep you posted, guys.
All right.
All right. There's also a play date on the night of this recording, which all of us will miss, and none of the rest of you guys will be able to play on. But this is the first, I want to say the first community play date from 343.
I'm not going to say it is or is not. I haven't been.
Or one that I can remember.
Yeah, it's the first I can recall, but I'm not going to say it's going to be the first one, period.
Or kind of the first one ever since 343 has kind of taken over.
We should do a community play date.
Yeah, we do need to do a community play
date. $5 a person.
That's not.
We'll donate it to game makers.
Okay.
Heard it here first.
That's not a very good idea, in my opinion.
Nobody would come.
No. Well, maybe one person.
We could just play matchmaking for free.
Yeah, exactly. let's see.
You guys should still donate to Game Changers, though. We're going to put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought I heard Game Changers. Were you smacking my project, man? Where do you live? You live in Florida?
I live in Florida.
What's your address? I'm coming there right now.
700 Executive Lane, Kennesaw. I shouldn't say this online.
He lives in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes. ATL, yo. That's where I
am. But good luck finding him there.
It's a big place.
No, see, I left. I just left. I'm on a plane already.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? Well, so
how are you still on call?
Well, Skype's on his Android phone, so...
Yeah, but you're supposed to have your phone off in the plane.
Oh. Well, he's obviously... I forgot.
Let me call up the TSA right now. Report a suspicious activity.
You do work for the government now. Anyway...
Ah, should have seen that one.
He's
getting that Tesla armor soon.
should we get into the first email from the mailbag?
I believe we should. We have a few emails kind of in response to a few of the shows that we've done over the past 2 or 3 weeks. So we are going to read them off since we have time to read stuff from our mailbag. The first one's kind of long, so I'll go ahead and take it. This comes.
Who is Drake? Do we know his gamertag? Does he mention it?
No.
It must be Nathan Drake, star of the Uncharted series.
Ah.
His name is Drake?
AKA Nolan North.
Oh, I see what you did there.
His name is Drake Van Zega. I hope I'm saying that right. If I'm not, I'm sorry. No pronunciation.
If not, just change your name to that. I mean, it's just easy.
Van Zega?
Seriously, just easy.
Van Zega?
Van Zega.
Van Zega.
Van Zega. It's like Venezuela. Van Zega. See,
you don't want to go to Venezuela. All right.
Here we go.
I haven't been south of Texas.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Anyways, he says, hey guys, was just listening to you guys and took interest for your request for emails and stuff, so I decided to put my two cents on Halo 4 and some things you guys talked about. For weapons, as long as 343 makes sure that they all work, I'm sure all the weapons are going to work.
No, they're going to jam. They're going to be like World War One guns.
Like Gears, if you miss the reload timings.
Oh.
As long as 343 makes sure they all work, and that none are too superior to the others, like the Halo 3 BR, then why not? I absolutely miss the flame/fire weapons and hope things like the Spartan laser and the SMG come back. I super hope they never drop the AR again either. I love the AR, SMG, and Magnum most as basic human weapons. For health, I liked Reach's health a lot. I feel that Reach and CE's health was perfect. I mean, I wouldn't freak out if it was gone, but I feel it'd be a shame if they would lose that. I don't know.
Spoiler. It's gone.
I mean,
no, I'm serious.
In terms of
realism. Well, is it realism versus gameplay, right?
Well, I mean, if you think about it,
I don't see it as more realistic. We could take five bullets compared to one bullet.
Yeah, and it's like, how can you just instantly walk by something and be instantly healed? I mean, that's not
realistic. It makes more sense without...
Well, that's like asking, when a Spartan is dual-wielding SMGs in Halo 3, how does he, you know, reload both of them at the same time with just two hands?
They're on his hips.
Yeah,
Magnums, then.
Same thing, they're on
his hips. Thing.
You don't see him, he puts them next to his hips.
Yeah, you don't see the animation, do you?
Well, you do if you look at him.
So you guys...
I mean, realistically, it would be something that would be, like, in the piece of shield for the leg, it would pop out, he would just slap the gun down.
You ever seen The Matrix?
Yeah, it would be like, yeah. If you've seen The Matrix and stuff like that. You know how he has the guns in his jacket and the ammo clips there? And he just slaps the gun on the clip and then brings it back up? That's basically the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's definitely...
You just can't see him. He doesn't,
now, if you want to be picky, picking up the weapons just by running over it, that's not realistic either. I mean, I kind of like the way that
he's got magnets in his shoes. It's already been explained.
The
thing is, you have to make stuff believable enough, but also convenient for the sake of gameplay.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you have to cut a lot of the quote unquote realism stuff. I think if you were to really vote on terms of a realistic game, Battlefield 3 is probably the closest thing that we have to do.
Yeah, which I'm playing right now. It's so awesome.
So
I think if it's like Skyrim, where I had to pick up, arrows from everybody I killed, I just wouldn't do it. I'd just be like, okay, I got enough ammo.
Well, we're not using arrows. We're using bullets.
No, I'm just saying, you've had to fight to look down and pick the bullets up every time instead of just running over.
Yeah.
So like you said,
took a BR shot to the knee.
Oh no.
I used to be a Spartan like you, but then I took a BR shot to the knee.
Dang it, now we have that point in Halo. Wow. Moving on. For armor abilities, perks, etc. I'm not gonna lie, if we see armor abilities return, fingers crossed, or these rumored perks show up, I'd love to see dual wielding make a comeback in that form. I miss running around dueling plasma rifles and SMGs. Balance is a big concern for me, so if dual-wielding came back, they should focus on having recoil/bloom and longer reload times as a big factor to keep that stuff under control.
Whoa. No, keep going. I'm just...
All right. Plus, the whole limitation of what weapons could be dual-wielded like before. I wouldn't freak out if we didn't see armor abilities or perks or whatever you want to call them return, but I feel that they were a major progressive step in reach that Halo had needed.
Progressive.
I think this guy's going to be very disappointed.
Dual wielding, I can definitely see a return in dual wielding.
I mean, but for everything else.
Well,
but didn't they confirm that there's going to be no dual wielding?
I don't think so.
Oh. Thought they did.
I don't think so. Oh.
I don't agree with what he personally wants.
But the thing is, even when the game had dual wielding, like in Halo 3, I guess was the most recent example, did that many people really use it for it to be relevant? I don't think so. Yeah, dual wielding in general, like plasma rifle, SMG.
I mean, if I didn't have a BR, I would probably dual wield magnums every once in a while.
I would dual wield every once in a while.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I mean, was it really that like frequent and relevant?
I mean, if the other guys had shotguns.
I don't think it's not. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. I'm more the opinion that yes, if it's in there, it's not going to really affect gameplay that much. If it's not in there, then you're really not missing that much either. It's kind of something where I don't care whether it's in there or not.
You appreciate the option of having it.
Right.
I'm same too. I mean, if it's not in there, it's not the end of the world. But if it is, it's nice to just have the option, I guess.
Then, yeah, cool.
We can dual maulers. That'd be fun.
I miss the mauler, actually. It was the Covenant shotgun.
For the most part, yeah.
Because they don't really have a shotgun. I mean, they just didn't reach, like, what the best equivalent, like the concussion rifle?
Like a grenade, the Covenant grenade launcher.
Yeah.
Well, then what is their shotgun? The plasma rifle?
They didn't have a Covey.
Well, it seems like the Covenant assault rifle is the plasma repeater, and the closest thing to the shotgun is the plasma rifle.
No, I really wouldn't say that.
Well, not in like weapon type, but just like if you want to like match up equivalents, because like
So no, I'd still
say
no.
It has to be the sword. It has to be the sword, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Shotgun beats sword.
I was just going to name everything until I got the sword, because I was hoping you'd say sword before I got
it. Shotgun beats sword. Anyways.
It does.
Moving on, custom features. I hope 343 explains the amount of custom options available to players. I hope they improve Forge and Theater mode, but also put in more game type tweaking options so we can create wild custom game types like people did in Halo 3. Actually, wasn't there kind of more customizability in Reach than there was in Halo 3?
Yes, yeah. There was.
That's kind of backwards, but anyways.
I feel like Reach is like, it didn't flourish as much, A, because not as many people played it as in Halo 3.
It's because of Forge World, to be, in my opinion, because
what,
it's all gray.
So gray. Yeah.
It's all gray. I mean,
what do you?
No, the Forge World is, it was a good idea. I'm not going to talk crap about Forge World, but I mean, too much gray. It hurts after a while.
I mean, what was it? Sandbox was all yellow and Foundry was all brown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's exactly valid. I just think that the mechanics.
But you also have to look at the other multiplayer maps that were available in Halo 3 compared to the ones in Reach. I mean, the Forge World was basically the only map that wasn't reflected directly in the campaign. And where all of the previous Halo games before had been different multiplayer spaces with few exceptions, every multiplayer map that came with the ship disc was somehow integrated in the campaign except for Forge World. And seeing all that gray is just meh.
This goes back to the earlier point that the Reach map variety that we were given was a little lazy.
Yeah. And we talked about that a few shows ago, so we won't go into it again. But moving on, I agree it'd be cool to see custom HUD options and even a full custom controller option. I'm hoping they also keep up with the Spartan customization. I don't mean to sound demanding, but if they sort of combine Halo 3 and Halo Reach's focuses on customization, it'd be great. Halo 3 sort of focused heavily on different armor types, while Reach is focused more on gears and attachments. It sort of bugged me how some armors had lacked attachments that made sense for them in Reach. Some chests and helmets in Reach shared attachments that made sense on one, but no reason on the other. I guess some made sense on some armor pieces, but not on others. I guess that's what that means. Grammar check. I'm just saying, if it'd be nice for them to say, look, this is a sniper armor, you get a ghillie suit thing, sniper rounds, and a GPS or something. Not here's your sniper armor with extra grenades and oxygen tank. Touche. And imagine if you can not only pick up armor colors, but also color schemes. Like if you have your colors, but do you want it to be painted Halo 2, Halo 3, or Halo Reach style? No, I mean, that's purely a game thing. I mean, color schemes is just going to be dependent on the game. I don't think there's really going to need to have a color scheme for Halo 2, a color scheme for Halo 3, and have the other ones integrated in there as well.
If I would,
I mean, a color's a color.
But it was
they've been pretty standard for the most part, right? Throughout,
I don't think
the game.
Blue's changed in like 12,000 years or something. Pretty sure it's been the same.
Well, I mean, it's like the tone of blue that I think he's talking about. But
yeah.
Moving on to, this is a really long post, sorry guys. Beta. I also agree, just for networking purposes, to say the least, that 343 should consider having a beta, at least a test connectivity. However, I feel it should focus on everything in terms of balance and to know what things should be tweaked on maps and whatnot. Well, I mean, at this point, they pretty much said that no beta at this point, so we are likely not going to see one.
Which is absolute insanity, I might add.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Can I ask you guys a question? I know you talked about Halo 4 in a previous podcast, but
yeah,
are you concerned that 343, a different company, is doing it? Like, when it comes to gameplay, I mean,
nope.
I mean, is it the same? They're taking the same engine, or
no? From what I've personally seen from 343, I'm very excited about what they're going to do differently.
No, there are people from Bungie there, so that's reassuring.
Yeah.
Also, I think didn't BS Angel say that Halo 4's engine is just like a super upgraded Reach engine?
Well, I think they said the only thing that's the same. Now I don't remember.
Pretty sure she said it's a Reach engine, just upgraded a lot.
That's basically what they did
from 3 to Reach. I mean, they basically gutted the Halo 3 engine and then rebuilt up the Reach engine, and I think that's kind of what they're doing. They're gutting the Reach engine and then
technically they've done it since Halo 1, so.
Yeah.
So they've been doing that since the first Halo.
My concern is completely invalid.
There's something they didn't change at all, and I think it's the visuals. The way it loads or something, but everything else other than that is completely changed. But no, I'm personally not concerned.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, and there's a lot of money and talent, I mean, behind it. I was watching some of the, you know, the videos they released and kind of what's been talked about it, but
yeah.
I figured you guys had more insight than I did.
I would say that I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I think 343 is going to hit a home run.
I'm confident that it'll do well. I'm expecting that it'll be an amazing game, but you know I'm not getting my hopes up like too much. You know, you can't get too excited. Just, you know, well,
right? I mean, this is their first game, right now, so.
Well, it's not. It's the company's. It's not the people's first games. Everybody there's made games.
Well, right. But it's their
even,
first,
even but
as a studio, it's their first game.
It's not Microsoft's first game. It's not Frankie's first Halo game. It's not Shishka's first Halo game.
Shishka.
Yeah. And plus, if you if you're just optimistic, but you don't get too hyped up, then if it is really mind-blowingly amazing, then you'll really be impressed, and so it'll be a nice, pleasant surprise.
Gotta go with low expectations.
I think once you hopefully.
No. I'm saying like that's smart. Like you know, if you have this expectation of like this is gonna be mind-alteringly amazing, then it can never live up to that. So.
Yeah, I mean, don't be pessimistic, right? But just be cautiously confident.
That's a good saying.
Yeah. Okay. There's.
Do you want to finish this, or do you want to?
Yeah, there's another section left here. Game types.
You got two more sections left.
Two more sections. Sorry. Game types. I'm a very diverse player. I love FFA. I play lots of Griffball with my group whenever we're not playing SWAT. To say the least, I would love to just have about every game type there is out there. Headhunter. Hunter can go to hell and lick a dick. Bleep.
Yeah, Hunter's not very fun.
I don't know. I mean,
good concept.
Good concept.
Yeah. But this is what we're going to end up saying for Halo 4, right? The entire thing. Good concept. But,
good concept. Yeah.
Good concept, yeah.
I mean, if they can fit it in there, sure. I mean, why not? But it's not a big game type that everybody plays. But one thing I hope they do is focused on expanding Infection. It's a game type that has way more potential than is being used. In Halo 3, there were custom maps that started humans and zombies on fair ground, forcing the humans to rush to a semi-defendable position. In Reach, it's just kind of like, here's a random, slightly tweaked up map, go for it. Letting players find and camp in stupid and impossible positions. I say as a minimum, they try to encourage players to make custom Infection design maps. One other thing I feel would be sweet is that infected players spawn as flood zombies. That would be interesting. I had a huge Infection 2.0 idea that was way more extensive, sort of turned Infection into a cross between an objective survival custom game and a flood-focused firefight. However, as long as the zombie players are flood and the maps focused on varying balancing Infection gameplay with a touch of good old creepiness, I'm happy. All right, so apparently he wants a kind of updated Infection game type.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Aesthetic, the zombies being look like they're flood infected, as opposed to just being normal Spartans with swords and unlimited sprint or whatever. It'd be an interesting aesthetic, but make it feel really more like zombies.
Yeah. Lastly, random discussion. Don't feel bad. I couldn't remember the name of Isolation either. I guess this was back when we were.
Nobody liked that map.
Talking about, what were we talking about? Oh, I guess we were talking about like maps changing throughout the game or something.
Talking about good concepts.
Yeah. That, by the way, was a rather good infection map. I also agree that the way they did the bulletin was stupid. Oh, yeah. They should have answered only the questions that they were willingly to blatantly answer. Wow. It's these half-answers that make people on the forums go crazy and come up with wild theories about what is and isn't being said. So, yay, someone who supports us.
I actually agree that isolation probably was actually a good infection map because it was pretty much symmetrical. So there, it's not like there was one just one dead end camping spot. Kind of had to stay on your toes all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the core of what was missing in Reach is that the maps were based off campaign. I think if they definitely would have spent the time to make maps outside of the campaign, we would have seen a lot better maps than we did.
You think it was just Bungie just like being done with Halo? Like, let's get this out the door and move on, people.
Not necessarily. I mean, yeah, you can't deny that there's a certain amount of quote unquote laziness to it, but I mean, it's interesting to take concepts in campaign and see them played out in multiplayer. Cause some of the spaces do make sense in terms of having multiplayer in them. It's just not everything should be focused on campaign. A couple maps make sense. I mean, Reflection being the Ivory Tower remake. I mean, that you're not really going to go wrong there. A lot of people loved Ivory Tower, and the Reflection remake was pretty good.
But I would say Reach wasn't the right game to base the multiplayer maps off of campaign, because that in itself is kind of a gutsy move, kind of like high risk, high reward, so to speak. So, right, it's supposed to be this ultimate like conglomerate tribute game, and they're going to try to pull a ballsy move like that. They should have just played it safe. Just pick the 15 most popular Halo maps in the series. 1, 2, 3, and whatever. 15 most popular maps and remade them with the Reach engine. That fans would have loved that.
Yeah.
Some of the remakes are pretty cool when people remade the pit, but it's just not the same.
Well, I mean, then again, it's the problem right there again is it's Forge World. It's gray. While it might functionally work the same, it's not visually appealing, and it's hard to look at.
Well, I think Def meant, like, from the ground up. I don't think he meant Forge World.
Well, right? Yeah. If they redid the pit, like, if they were to build the pit in Reach, I'm sure they would have had a lot more creativity in it, being that they would be making the maps.
Yeah. Basically, how they did the whole anniversary map pack with the remaking Headlong, and, yeah, like, that. If they just... Because like there are tons of maps, besides the ones where they in the anniversary DLC, that would look also awesome in Reach, and we never get to see that now.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, it was an interesting, I hate to say this word, but experiment to have the play spaces in campaign. And I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying don't do an entire multiplayer experience based on what you did in campaign. They're two different experiences, so they kind of need to be two different play spaces to begin with.
Yeah.
So, who wants to read the next one? Ryan McNeil.
I think...
Do you want to have Rob do it since it's short?
Yeah, sure. Rob, go ahead. Rob, do you have the show notes in front of you, Rob? Just Rob?
Just Rob?
Let me get just Rob. He just walked out of the room.
Okay.
Okay.
Yo, what's up?
Yo, Rob. Rob. Yeah, you got the show notes in front of you, brother?
Is that like a thing where I gotta like log in with a password and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't have that in front of me anymore. But
can you get it back in front of you?
Yes, I can.
I can read it in my best Rob voice if that works.
You don't know if you think you know me that well.
Yeah, I wouldn't try that too much, Greg.
Sure, I'll just copy and paste it and put it in Skype. Here, just read that.
I was just logged in too.
Oh, you did? Okay, well, never mind. Nope. We're on Ryan McNeil.
Look, I don't want to fight with you. I just really want to read what Ryan McNeil submitted to the show, okay?
This is my only focus right now, guys.
Okay, so Ryan McNeil said, okay, so if there are reasons as to why blue Spartans fight red Spartans, will we be able to choose a side, like choose which cause to fight for, and always be on the red team fighting blues, or vice versa, and have online which side is winning?
That'd be fun.
That's
kind of cool, actually.
That's a cool concept, although I don't think you'll necessarily be able to choose like which team you'll be on. I think that would kind of break matchmaking a little bit.
But it seems like their reasons for saying that the lore is going to be different is going to be the reasoning why there's going to be certain weapons in multiplayer it's not in the game, or certain stuff like that.
Well, I mean, having the idea of
why the chief looks the same.
They have this idea. They have this kind of idea in the Old Republic, right? If you go on a quest and you roll either Sith or Jedi, you can still play. Like if you roll a Jedi, you can still play as a Sith, but you would get that experience under the Sith, under your Sith skills instead of the Jedi skills. So I think it would be something like that.
You mean pick Republic or Empire?
Yeah, or however it works. I don't play it, so I don't know. But it would be interesting to register with a blue side or a red side. And say all my stats I will contribute to the red side, and then do it something like that. That'd be interesting.
Speaking of old Republic, the more important question
is which side would you be on, red or blue?
Statistically, reds win more, but I like Church and Caboose more than Sergeant Simmons. So I don't know.
So you like the director? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I don't necessarily like the director. I like the AI portion of the director that plays Church.
I gotcha.
Not quite. Just talking
about this Halo 4 multiplayer suite, red versus blue, fiction, this mythology they're trying to come up with for this multiplayer experience. Just talking about this now, well, why does this suddenly scream Team Fortress 2 ripoff to me?
It's not going to be classes. You're not going to have Grenadier class.
Red versus Team Fortress 2, the whole story is the red versus blue, like the corporations or whatever.
It's going to boil down to customization of your Spartan, because in game you're going to be chief, you're not going to change. And in multiplayer, you're going to be able to change your Spartan, so it's got to be a little different story of why you're able to do that.
Why would it be such a bad thing if it was something like that in Team Fortress 2? I mean, that was kind of the thing I was thinking of when I heard that there was going to be kind of a backstory. Or that there was like these two factions of Spartans and they're clashing over something. I mean, is there something completely wrong with that? I mean,
as long as they make it, original and enthralling enough. Not just some silly like cliches type thing that we've seen in other franchises.
All right, it doesn't sound like a bad idea to me.
Just on a side note, the
way they implement it is going to be the big part of it. But I don't see. I have faith in whatever they come out with the argument for them fighting each other. It's going to be good. Yeah.
You want me to read the next guy?
Sure.
Looks like it's Braden Bailey. I hope I said that right. He says, okay, Psy. I don't know why he says that. First of all...
There's a lot of parentheses stuff in here. Just read over it.
First of all, I hope they don't put every single armor piece from every Halo game in it. I also really hope they don't make the armor perks too extended. They should make the perks mostly HUD things or different looking scopes. That sounds pretty cool. They hopefully won't have any armor abilities besides Sprint, which is confirmed, I think, actually.
Well, and Jetpack is kind of... I mean, from the screenshots we saw, that it looks like there's a Jetpack in there, so...
From the looks of the maps they showed so far, they aren't very pretty. They look good, but ugly at the same time. There's gray everywhere, ... A cool thing for Forge to do would be to have a whole friggin' boatload of color palettes and skins. That would be quite cool, but take up a lot of disk space, I'm sure. One thing me and my brother thought of would be to have a part of an object deleted when glitched or morphed to another object. That way, the frame rate wouldn't drop as much and it wouldn't look as bad. It sounds good to me. I don't know how they would do it. I guess you could do it when you publish the game, and if there's a piece.
They're not talking about. They're talking about like forged pieces.
I know. No. So like
that,
when
that's
you publish
not the,
game.
That's not the problem with how that works.
Oh, okay.
And go ahead and finish. I'll explain after you're done reading.
He goes on to say, if they don't bring back equipment, I'm gonna be pretty unhappy. So I guess he likes like the charger and the shield generator. They should really make grenades less powerful and harder to throw. They also should basically be able to have their version of Halo 3 Slayer, because they have the BR, and hopefully bring back some of Halo 3 maps. And man, it would be nice if they would fix the dang spawning and reach the spawning is crap. This is an opinion. Especially compared to Halo 3. I'm very glad that they brought back the BR, because you should never ever have Bloom like Reach did with the DMR, not the BMR. I also think they should have more vehicular maps for Firefight and Halo 4, if they even have higher Firefight. I found those maps the most fun. Me and my brother have both read most of the Halo books, and he and I both almost know for sure that they're going to have Linda in it. Oh, okay. Linda is another Spartan too, and one of Master Chief's friends. Actually, they were on the same team together, if I remember.
Yep.
When they were kids. A big hint that she will be in it is obvious the books. A big hint that she will be in it is obviously the books. Okay, so I did read that the way he said it.
Yeah, you did.
But also, if you look at the screen in the room up above where you come out of the cryopod in Halo Anniversary, you'll see the screen reads Linda and says missing on it. Guess that's all I wanted to say. Isn't Linda in Onyx? Or is Linda the one that went back to him? No, that's not me. Anyway.
Can I go back to something you were reading about? He said they should make grenades harder to throw and do less damage.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't either. So with the grenades, one thing in Halo that I think that they need to focus on, and I'm pretty sure they know this, and this is why I trust them, is that they need to make everything as open as possible. Like, they need to make everything as easily done. They need to let grenades bounce like they used to, like we were accustomed to. Not like Reach, where it's like you're throwing it against a piece of foam and it basically sticks to the wall. It's kind of annoying. So
I hated that.
Yeah,
I was like. That was like my claim to fame was bouncing nades off stuff.
I think it should be more bouncy. I'm not
bouncing
really
nades
too.
Off the wall.
I don't care how powerful it is. Because I think that we will adapt to that, to how powerful it is. But the mechanics of how it is thrown, I don't really know if you can always adapt to that part. Because you know, if it's less powerful or has less range, then we're gonna, you know, play differently. But if it's harder to throw, I'm just not going to throw grenades. So I think maybe changing the power makes more sense than making it harder to throw, in my personal opinion.
I think the throwing is all right.
Yeah, like in Reach, they definitely changed how you throw it, and they've definitely changed the power of...
Yeah, I definitely prefer the way you throw it in Halo 3 more, yes. though.
Yes.
Here.
And the bounciness of the frag grenades needs to come back.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to feel like you're throwing a grenade like Halo style. You don't need to be throwing a grenade like you're in Call of Duty. We're not playing Call of Duty. Don't make this game.
Yeah.
Don't try to. I think that 343 understands this, that, you know, this is a certain type of game, a certain type of people like to play. You know, it's probably, in my opinion, Halo 3 and Halo 2 were probably the best for skill gap. Because it really showed that if you sucked, you're not going to win. And if you were good, you had a good chance to win if you had good teammates, of course.
Right.
And in Halo Reach, it was more like who saw the person first, who was the most luckiest, who had this weapon or over this weapon, and who had armor lock.
Yeah.
So it would be nice if in Halo 4, if it was more like the ways that it used to be, that the person who was better at the video game won the specific match instead of people who either got lucky that round or they picked the right armor ability for this certain situation wins the game.
All right. Daft, when you read the last one before you have to scoot? Daft. Maybe you're too left.
He must have fell asleep.
No, he has a raid, so he probably really left for his raid.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Oh, he's here.
Do you want to
read my... Yeah, I will. How access this.
Yeah, go ahead and read the last one, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, how do I access this?
Oh, I'll just...
I'll read it.
Can I do it?
Yes, you can do it. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I like to read.
I'm a very good reader. You know, really proud.
So redeemed Spartan 505 says, "Hi guys, I've been a longtime listener to Podtacular and figured it was about time to submit something. I've just started to read the various Halo books and noticed during Fall of Reach that Dr. Halsey and Cortana have a lifespan of 7 years. Since Halo 4 takes place 5 years after Halo 3, do you think this will become a problem in the new trilogy?"
Yes.
One of the things that's been discussed recently, and I haven't read the books to really read up on it, but there's an issue with all the AIs that get created going rampant, which means that after a certain amount of time, they break down and start to go 7 crazy.
Years. Yeah, rampancy. That's why they have
so rampancy.
Destroy them.
And I think we're probably going to see that start to come out in...
No, you saw it in Halo 3, definitely, when she was freaking out.
Yeah, we saw it a little bit, but I think we're going to see more of that in Halo 4, and throughout the trilogy, we're going to see Cortana break down.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be... Because the story of Halo... I mean, the story. We're talking about the game.
Well, I mean, right now it's the story of Chief. I mean, we're done
with... Well, it's the story of them, too. It's always been them, too.
Well, I mean, we're done with the Halo trilogy. Now we're on the Reclaimer trilogy.
So... The story of all the Halo games in the past have been about Chief and Cortana and how they've been able to get through their troubles. And one of the new troubles is going to have to be how Cortana is not going to be as witted, as sharp as she used to be, because she's basically getting Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So she's going to start forgetting things. She's not going to remember how to do certain things as quick. She's going to start going nuts. Start thinking things, like she's gonna make rash decisions. And I think it's cool that we're gonna have to worry about like what's right, what's wrong, and whatever the hell Cortana says, because it's gonna be in the middle somewhere, or you know, one way or the other that we don't wanna go. And I think it'd be fun. It's gonna add something. I hope they tie that in on it's true that it's always happened before.
Yeah. Real quick before I forget, going back to Brayden's thing about having the edges deleted on something, you can't just delete edges off of a texture or a piece of geometry. That's not how you do graphics engine rendering.
It seemed like you could do it, like after you published the game. If you said like if this object is inside of another object, then just delete the point.
No, you can't.
You couldn't do that.
It messes up how the texture gets applied, and that's a lot more math that you have to do on the graphics card, and that's extra processing power that they don't want to take up.
Yeah, it's the vector-based raster nodes.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to mess with when you're dealing with graphics.
I just made that up. I figured it would sound appropriate.
It's something to Google. Okay, I'm going to Google vector-based raster nodes.
That's not exactly what it's called, but you're pretty close.
I've done a little CG, so I just threw some work.
I mean, all the geometries you see are vector-based. I mean, it's going from point A to point B drawing stuff, and then rasterizing is when you put the textures on to the geometry, basically. So you're pretty close. For coming up with a BS answer, it was a pretty good one.
He's talking about the vector is the outline of the image, and the raster is the color. Right.
Dustin knows his stuff, man.
Not quite.
Oh, well, I'm in left field then.
But
hey, Daft, how you doing? Left field over here feels pretty nice.
What?
What? But that's
you're associating yourself with the liberal schmucks. That's nice.
I didn't say that.
we're done. We're done. No politics. We're done. All right. Thank you guys for listening.
Wait. I have one last thing to add. Not politics. It's about Star Wars. Old Republic. Thank you for reminding me of that Old Republic a comparison. Because I just remember that this weekend,
it's free.
Yeah, this weekend from I believe today, March the 15th, until Sunday night.
It's Central Time, right?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
But basically, so yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can download the Old Republic MMO, the full game, for free, and then play it this weekend, just this weekend for free, until Sunday night. So I'm gonna try it myself. I recommend you guys all try it, and the listeners try it.
Oh yeah, I already downloaded it. I'm just waiting.
Alrighty. Well, we want to thank Rob again for coming on.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Honestly, I really had a blast, and I really appreciate the exposure because had a lot of fun tonight. But I'm really looking forward to making this film. So.
Well, we hope that you actually get to do it. You know, it's. I would love to watch something like this. I love going to MLGs. It's really fun, really exciting. If you've never been, it's probably one of the coolest things that you can ever do is go to an MLG and just watch people and be around people that like the same.
Well, no matter what, even if we don't hit our goal, even though I want to do everything that we can to hit our goal, we're shooting this summer. It's happening. So.
Alrighty. And go ahead and plug again where people can.
Sure.
Donate and find your website.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. GameChangersTheMovie.com. That has links to everything. But if you want to go right to our video, hear our pitch, and look at what you get for donating, that is Indiegogo.com/game-changers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We didn't have too much in terms of new stuff to talk about for you, but we did get to hear about Rob's film, and all the best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And I'm not sure what we're doing next time. We might be discussing what we want with Halo 4. We might be doing something else. But once that time comes, we will have something to talk about. So until next time, guys, keep on fragging those trucks.
Trucks, woo!